Good evening. Welcome everyone to the Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Amy and I am an alcoholic.
Amy. Hey, Amy.
For those who care to join us, let's open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively, which are across the main foyer and up a small flight of stairs. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA's simple actions. I will now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open, big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we are discussing step 11. Please welcome our panel. We have Brad E. and Harmony M. I will read the first paragraph, which is on page 85, and then the panel will share for a few minutes each on the reading. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. It would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken.
Me? I'm Harmony. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Harmony. So
I was really raised in a religious family, and I wasn't a stranger at all to prayer when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, but I wasn't in practice of using it the way that we do in Alcoholics Anonymous, and also I had never had a practice of meditation, and this first set of valuable suggestions that they have here is the tool of self-assessment, and it's really about sitting down and having quiet moments of thought and reflecting on your day and your actions. And it is, I do not write it out every night. It is something that has become a practice, and I have written it out in the course of my sobriety, but what's happened is that this has become kind of the way that I think. Like, whenever something comes up and I start to feel disturbed on the inside, or there's something that I'm thinking a lot about, especially when I'm getting ready to go to sleep at night, or something that I'm feeling bad about, these are all the questions that run through my head. Like, why is this bothering me? Like, why? Like, what happened today? What could I have done better? And I do not think of others most of the time. That's the first one that, like, nope, do not do that. Like, it's not always immediately that I realize that I owe someone an apology. Some of the times I have to talk to my sponsor before I realize that I'm very much in the wrong and my perception is off, and I need to apologize for something that came out of my mouth. This is just a way that I never was before Alcoholics Anonymous. Like, I just blew through life. I never took stock of anything. I would just blow through all of my problems, and then they would pile up on me, and next thing you know, like, I would be drinking or in so much chaos, and I had no idea how I even got there. And Alcoholics Anonymous and Step 11 helped slow me down. There's one other thing that I wanted to point out about this paragraph is to be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, and I definitely do that often. I sometimes want to solve my problems from my own head, and I want to take on responsibility for stuff that isn't my responsibility and that I actually have no power over. And that's when I really can get into morbid reflection. And, you know, a good example is if, like, you know, like, I may tell my sponsor, you know, I need to do a 10-page inventory on why I can't get over this guy. And really all I need to do is not answer the phone when he calls and I'll be fine, you know. And sometimes where all you need to do is just not take action and to take contrary action and to get up and try to put others first in your life, and all of those problems will work them out themselves without me trying to solve them or get to the bottom of my causes and conditions and why am I like this? What did they do to me as a child to make me like this? Doesn't matter. No, I got to get up. I got to be of service to other alcoholics. I got to try and take a better action. And there isn't any amount of trying to fix that stuff in my own mind that's going to make me different than who I am or where I'm at. So that's all I have to share on that.
Thanks, Simon.
Thank you. My name's Brad. I am an alcoholic. Is this thing working?
Hello?
Yeah.
Brad?
My name is Brad. I'm an alcoholic.
My sobriety date is January 28, 2000. This is my home group. My sponsor is here somewhere. And I do sponsor other men. I do want to say, I always feel like that whenever I speak from the podium, I came to AA for the first time in 1988 when I was 22 years old. And share my current experience in AA and my current understanding and all that stuff, part of that deal for me is I end up sharing a lot of the pitfalls that I've made over the years. They can be very valuable. I came to AA when I was 22. I came here because I couldn't. The allergy, this thing that I learned from you guys, that I had this allergy whenever I put booze in my body, something abnormal happens to me versus some of my other friends, and my drinking, I lost a control switch somewhere along the way. You know, the control switch just disappeared, and alcohol kind of took me wherever it wanted to take me, and And so I ended up reaching out, and I came to AA when I was 22. I did 30 days in a rehab. They told me when I got out of there, you need to go to AA. Not much else did they tell me, you know, as far as sponsorship and some other kind of practical advice. So, I didn't work any steps until I was 4 years abstinent of alcohol when I first came to AA, and I do not recommend that. But that's what happened. I came to AA, and I was one of those guys that thought if I put the plug in the jug, that the wonderful Brad will be obvious to everybody, including myself, and my problems will fall away. And about 4 years in to AA, I found that my life started mirroring my drinking life without booze. I was having problems, relationship, work, money, all everything, just constantly living in my head. And that's what really propelled me to ask a guy to sponsor me. And I'll just say this real quick. I went, I drank again after 9 years of sobriety, and looking back, one of the things that I noticed, I'm not saying this is causative, but there's a correlation, is I got through amends, and I started having a spiritual experience. And in the book on step 10, it talks about, right before it says, we have now entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. Not me. I stopped doing all that stuff. And I guess in the back of my mind somewhere, I just thought that it was just going to be good from here on out. There's a theme in my life. I like finish lines. I don't like continuing to do stuff. I want to be done with stuff and have everything be hunky-dory after that. But anyway, I didn't. I didn't get into the actions of 10, 11, and 12. And probably within 9 months or a year after it, I ended up picking up a drink again. And anyway, I say that because this is a part of my actions today, and not stellar. No, I am not a poster boy for steps 10, 11, or anything. But this is absolutely part of my life, and the reason I bring up step 10 because of my current understanding is in relationship to 11 is, you know, my 10th step is asking me to be awake all during the day. And that's a pretty tall order. That's contemplating step 10. It probably asks most of us than any other step. And the truth of the matter is I'm not awake all the time during the day. As a matter of fact, the bulk of my time is in my head, is thinking about myself and stuff. So this step 11 is kind of this catch-all at the end of the day. So let's see how I did with step 11. See how awake I was, because it's fundamentally asking this, you know, these questions that were asked in the same paragraph, or the same questions that are asked over and over, in any kind of inventory format. And so I get, as Harmony was saying, this self-examination. I always think there's a line in the 12 and 12 that it's always there's a handful of lines that I've always remembered from the 12 and 12, it talks about the line, as I kind of try to paraphrase here. It talks about self-examination, prayer, and meditation, when they're practiced separately, bring about relief and benefit. But when they are logically interwoven, they result in an unshakable foundation for life. And those are some pretty strong words. And so my current, and I've done this, I've done this different styles over the years as far as these questions. I've done, had 11 step partners, at night where we answer these questions together currently. Just to be honest, I knew that I was asked to do this a month or so ago, so I was like, man, I got to double down. I got to get back on this more stronger. And so anyway, currently, what it looks like for me is I'm just spending some time. I read the paragraph in the nighttime paragraph, and I read at night, and I read the morning paragraph in the morning. I answer these questions, and. So, and what they look like, there's where we resentful, selfish, dishonest, there's always some level of yes to that. Yeah, I've got some degree of that. Yeah, I don't think there's if I'm going to get honest, if I'm examining myself, I can always find something that's there's some fear in. It's interesting having kept some to ourselves, which should be discussed with another person at once. This came up for me last week, and it was over something that I wouldn't have thought about. But I was just like, I do. This is the kind of thing that I really need to talk to someone about, which I did. There's always what could we have done better. I always find that there's a lot of room for that question. Was I thinking to myself most of the time? Yeah, absolutely. And but this idea here of the next sentence about were we thinking of what we could do for others or what we could pack into the stream of life? That one's a tall one too. That I always fall short on that because I've been a taker my entire life. That's how I approach life. What can I get out of life? You know, what can you do for me? What can I get? And so that's still alive and well in me. So, but that's, I do feel like I've gotten some growth about not drifting into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection. I've just observed so much stuff that I would say is unflattering or unsavory about myself that it's not as, it's not so devastating now to know that I've been hyper selfish or hyper, whatever. It's just, it's part of the parcel that I bring. And, I'm going to attempt, and this is something that I forget, and this is kind of a theme that's been coming up for me a lot too, is that I tend to want to make all these steps some form of self-help or some kind of dressing to prop up myself, And what I'm really attempting to learn and practice is God reliance instead of self-reliance. And what I found in my original inventory and every inventory since then is that it's self-will is what causes the problems for me. And I was thinking about there's these two AA guys who are kind of famous, Joe and Charlie, and they do these 12-step talks around the country and stuff. And they often talk about, in the third step, we turn our will and our lives over the care of God as we understood it. And they bring up that our will and our lives are our thoughts and our actions. And I was just thinking, self-will, my self-will, self-thought, holy moly, that's what I really excel in, is self-thought, thinking about myself. And so this is exercising a muscle in some sense that I don't have a lot of practice with, a very deteriorated or non-existent muscle that I'm learning to develop by these disciplines, these practices to seek God. And anyway, that's all we got.
Okay, next we're moving on to page 86. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here, we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration, We come to rely on it.
Good job, Brad. You got me with some of that you were sharing. This is talking about putting our thought life on a higher plane, and that implies that there's a lower plane, and that's definitely the case for me. It involves self-pity, dishonest, self-seeking motives, also, you know, manipulations, arranging life as I see fit, trying to make things, trying to wrest satisfaction out of life is my big daily ambition. Almost every single day, and that is the lower plane. It can get even lower than that sometimes too, you know, like revenge. Revenge is a good one. So I have to start out the morning with trying to get my thought life on a higher plane and to ask God to remove some of this stuff for me, and also third step prayer, relieve me of the bondage of self. And there are a lot of ways that we face indecision, and it doesn't always have to be big decisions in my life, like should I stay or should I go or whatever. It doesn't always have to be these big things. It can be even in little ways. And I have had such an amazing experience in my sobriety with relying on inspiration. I don't want to make it sound like I walk hand in hand with God, but I have had so many experiences where I know that what came into my mind and came into my heart had absolutely nothing to do with me, and that me of my own accord and my own abilities would not be able to pull off some of the things that happened. And you know, some of it has to do with my job and just being in a patient's room and saying, you know, this person, I think this person has cancer. I don't know why I think that, but I'm gonna scan them. There are other things like, you know, just little things that you, if I am less self-obsessed, I'm paying attention to what other people are doing and saying. And so I can hear little things in people's voices and what's going on with them, and be able to hear when someone's having pain or having problems. And because of that, I've had these amazing experiences of just being in the middle of life and being involved with other people and watching them go through the things that they go through. And that's when I feel close to God. Like, it's not because I feel spiritual, I feel in love with everybody, I'm happy all the time, I get everything that I want, and I'm walking hand in hand with God. It's when I start seeing him work through other people's lives because I'm not so self-obsessed. And another way that inspiration has really hit me is with being able to do things in my life. Like, it's hard to believe, I know, but I had really low self-esteem when I came in here, and it was really hard for me to believe that I could actually accomplish anything, you know? It was hard for me to believe that I could get a college degree, or that I could ever do some of the things that I saw other normal people doing easily. And when I started to get myself out of the way because of Alcoholics Anonymous, then I was able to focus on what God would have me do, and there's crap that he wanted me to do, you know? So, and because of that, like, I've had all of these really, really awesome experiences. You know, I got to go to Mexico and practice medicine for a month when I was in school, and I helped start a professional organization that helps get physicians' assistants to international organizations, and it's just all of this stuff that I would, like, in my world of alcoholism and self-obsession and getting loaded every day, like, there's absolutely no way any of that was happening. I barely even graduated high school. I only graduated high school because I got credits for going to treatment.
No, nice.
Like, that's the only reason. And I was able to, like, pull off, like, some of this miraculous stuff, and it really had absolutely nothing to do with me. It was because I surrendered to God's will. I surrendered to progress. I realized I try to turn my will and my life over to God and to do whatever it is that he would have me do and not waste my life. And because of that, I think that I'm not perfect, but I do feel like I'm in the middle of life thanks to Alcoholics Anonymous. That's it.
I'm not a morning person at all. I'm not, or on awakening, I feel like I'm become a human being maybe an hour after I'm awake, just naturally. But and this has always been the tougher side for me to practice, the morning side. And someone actually shared this with me a couple years ago that I've gotten some use out of that, and says, we consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, though, we ask God to direct our thinking. And the trick that someone told me is that's all you have to do. As soon as your eyes open, you can say that. You know, that's a simple, easy prayer right out of, before I start considering my day and thinking about others and stuff. This is the first thing I can do, and it's pretty easy. I like easy stuff. I start my day. Without this, I'm self will run riot. I'm going to run the show, and I'm going to be the actor who thinks he's a director, and none of you guys are going to be doing it just right. So, this is big for me to start my day. And about these self-seeking, the self-seeking motives that I often even hide from myself. So anyway, this is one of the things that I was kind of mentioning this other thing about what I can pack into the stream of life. This is where I usually get into that idea, because like I said, I default to what can I get out of the world and what can I get out of you. I mean, and it's not even just like grossly, like I'm going to be going after your wallet or anything, but I that's how I relate to the world. Like this is some kind of store that's, I'm just going to walk through. I want that, I want that, I want that. I don't think about, look at, you know, think about this person. Oh, I should do this for them. But this gets me in touch with that. And I was thinking about the inspiration and I was, about getting still and asking for inspiration, and it's usually that kind of stuff only comes when I'm quiet, when I'm still, and I don't know any alcoholics who like to be still, that you know, without some form of stimulation, and it was interesting, like, and my inspirations, at least the recent ones, They're not typically gigantic inspiration. You know, oh, I should run for mayor, you know, that kind of stuff. It comes up. Oh, you know what? Your mom. You know, it'll just come out of left field. Your mom. You remember she asked you that question last week. You know, I'll call my mom. You know, or a friend. You know, someone that's just fallen off my radar. Those are usually the kind of inspirations that come up for me that are useful, and where I can be useful. So, you know, the short form language of your sought through prayer and meditation, improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. So essentially, I mean, these are tools, prayer, meditation, self-examination. Those are tools that are designed to help this conscious contact. And it's interesting. And like I said, I've kind of really paid more attention to this step, knowing that I was going to have to show up in front of you guys and talk about it. And and one of the things I noticed around even this is I want to turn this into I want to check it off the list and become spiritual. But you know, that's what I just want to get. And I'm just not, and completely be not in line with. What this is trying to do is help improve my conscious contact with God. I noticed that coming up is like, oh, I did my step 11. I'm done now. Let's run the show from here. And but that is, you know, this I just reminded that, you know, the truth is I found that I can have conscious contact at any time. no matter what the circumstance is, you know, or it's horrible, you know, or wonderful. And that is the goal. I picked up New Pair of Glasses, the Chuck C thing, and Chuck Chamberlain was a AA member and Exalted, and he wrote this book, A New Pair of Glasses, but he talks about this thing about conscious separation from God, and that's kind of the fundamental issue, you know, and that is my problem. When I feel connected, or, you know, I have contact, I live a very different way than when I'm not in conscious contact, subtle or extreme. But that's what this is, to stay connected, you know, stay connected with this power that not only saved my life from me destroying my life, but it also has given me a way of life that works. And it's interesting is that I have just such an appreciation for the ego now, for my ego, and just how powerful a force it is, you know, that my ego is not going gently into the spiritual journey. It bucks and fights and wants to do what it wants to do. And if there's no check or examination or any of these things, it goes bad. It goes bad. And it doesn't typically go bad, like, you know, in a week. It's just this slow little, you know, moving away from God, next thing I do is I turn around and I realize I'm just a long way from safety. So I think that's it on that one.
Okay. All right, we're continuing on page 87. We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no request for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why.
I don't pray for my own selfish ends. I have before. Like, try praying for a boyfriend. That'll be fun. be a fun adventure for you. This is hard for me because it's hard for me to be honest about how I'm practicing all of this stuff, but I've had some really major problems in my sobriety and some long durations that required me to have endurance with my relationship with God and until there was a resolution. And one of them was, you know, in my marriage, I knew that there was something wrong and that there were secrets going on, but I didn't know what they were. And in coming to my relationship with God, like, I would say things, you know, like, I would have to, what I prayed for through the guidance of Alcoholics Anonymous was for there to be a resolution and a solution. And it was really hard for me not to pray for the outcome that I wanted. What I had to seek out was justice and truth and God's will and not my will for that situation and other situations. It would have been... I can tell you that there's no, like, you know, there wasn't any magic wands through any of that. Like, there was only just persistence and continued action with God in Alcoholics Anonymous, but that, you know, God has given me what I need, and he has always given me what I need, and he has shown up for me, and the even if I didn't have the answers or the solution that I sought or the immediate fix that I needed because it was super uncomfortable, like, God has pulled through for me. And I don't know, I'm not gonna go on about that, but like, I hate crying. I'm just
yep.
Go ahead, Brad.
Oh, my turn again?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we shouldn't. What is our next step to be? Okay. This is, it's interesting. I feel like I learned this in the last number of years about a period of, about meditation and what meditation is and stuff. And it's explained to me, at least I think around the time the book was written, that they considered meditation as just what you think about, what you're giving your attention to. And I think that works, that still works for me now. I mean, obviously we're asking God to direct our thinking. There's another one of the lines from the 12 and 12 that stuck with me for a long time, and they talk about we don't have all the answers on meditation, but the libraries are a treasure trove that we should rely on. And that happened to me in sobriety too, like, just to consider what is this meditation thing. In my eyes, it was, you know, something a yogi did in a, you know, with cross legs and oming and all that kind of stuff. One of the practices I developed, and as I was referring to it, one of the things that I still don't like to do is to sit still and give my attention to something other than my thoughts. And I've heard, like, over the years with people, it's like, yeah, I don't do meditation, I can't do it, it doesn't work. And I was like, why? What are you talking about? Oh, I just can't keep my thoughts, you know, my attention off my thoughts. And I was like, join the club. That's all it is a discipline of attention. And it's hard. You know, I've got a very active mind. As a matter of fact, I was at a meeting this week, and a gentleman was sharing, and he was referring to, he made reference to that line around step 10 where, you know, we're not, what we really have is a daily reprieve. And that, talking about that line about alcohol being a subtle foe, and the guy was, when he was sharing in the sense that the subtle foe is that little mind that's talking always. It's like, it seems my subtle foe seems to only be interested in relief, not freedom, and it's always ready to give some direction and stuff. So being still, actually getting still and being free from that, to even the teeniest degree from that chattering, yakking mind that's always is a challenge. But when I put myself in that place, this is where the real peace in the moment and that inspiration comes. You know, if I'm just my prattling mind just going as it is, I can't seem to make much room for you guys, you know? So this is sitting still, and I'm talking about after, you know, considering the day and all those stuff, to just be still and receive. And this is what you hear in a lot of meetings about prayer is the asking, and meditation is the listening or receiving knowledge or wisdom. And that's been my experience, you know, but it's a bear.
All right, we're still on page 87. If circumstances warrant, we ask our wives or friends to join us in morning meditation. If we belong to a religious denomination which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. If not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. There are many helpful books also. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they offer.
So again, there's a lower plane of thinking and there's a higher plane. And my lower plane is filled with chaos. It's filled with very fast moving thoughts that can be very negative and critical and can create a lot of discomfort for me and others. I have brainstorms too, where these really really challenging and stormy emotions pop up, and they can be very hard not to act on. And I too understand what everybody says when they say I can't meditate, I can't sit still, blah 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 blah. I believe that is crap. I think that the brain is like a horse. That a wild horse that can be trained if you learn how to reel it in and get quiet. And I have used outside resources for that. I have used meditation apps and books and science to help me to learn how to reel in some of that lower plane thinking that I deal with. And when I can, when that all starts to slow down, the only way that I can describe it is that I get to this place in my brain and my heart where all there is a really, really bright light, and I feel really close to God in that moment, and I feel calm and serene, and that like everything's going to be okay. And I have had periods with meditation where I was in that spot for 20 minutes at a time. And the reason why this is important is because, like I was telling you, I have brainstorms and crap happens, and in those moments it can be very hard to find God and to know what to do. And that people have always been available to me, but there is no human power that can help me sometimes. And a couple of years ago, my dad hit a deer on his motorcycle. And he was brought into surgery to control us. His spleen was ruptured. And all night long, we didn't know if he was going to make it or not. And he was in another state. And I was the only one that was up, Nobody was up with me, helping me deal with this situation. Like, there were some family members that I could call. And it was just me and God at 3 a.m. And I had to get to a place, I had to, in that time period, to get inside and calm down, and to be able to think clearly. And during that entire event, he ended up passing away, but, I was there, and I felt like there was absolutely no way that I can go to that I can fly to Minnesota and that I can be anything but a blob for my dad's funeral. And it was absolutely not true. I would put my iPod in and I would get to this quiet space and God was with me that entire time. And then I would turn on my phone and I would have 100 messages from Alcoholics Anonymous, through Facebook and everything else. And God was definitely there for me. And so all I'm trying to say is that that's why we practice.
All right, if circumstances warrant, we ask our wives or friends to join us in morning. I'd probably say it's probably happened in the last 17 years, maybe five times with different girlfriends. And it's nice. It really is nice. We just never seem to stay on the same page with that. But if we belong to a religious denomination where it requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. I'll tell you, I came to kind of a religious, not atheist, but not interested in religion, not interested in religious people. And what happened with me when I first
when I went through the steps and that whole, that when I was talking to you earlier about the libraries being a treasure trove. Well, I dived into that treasure trove and I found that as I was diving into that treasure trove, I lost a lot of more interest in AA. And I like on this line, it says, if we belong to a religious denomination, which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. Also. And this is the point I want to make around a lot of this stuff is that I there's a part of me that wants to trade in this homely version of spirituality, this plain Jane, whatever AA's version is. I want something a little more exotic, and that's what happened. I mean, I was a guy that you know, I ended up in the Edgar Cayce place at the beach. Just exploring all their books, and I found something that blew me away, and I slowly traded A in for that, and I'm not going to say that's that's not the cause of me getting drunk, but there's definitely a relationship, and I noticed that in me today. I can see that when I was like, oh man, let's get into this, you know, and this is better than AA. It's more sophisticated, and the line that the other line that I like out of here, it says, and I had to contemplate this, but it says, be quick to see where religious people are right. Be quick to see where religious people are not right, not that they are right. Mm-hmm. And they do, and there's a lot. I mean, when it comes to the realm of spirituality, I think Bill Wilson said that AA is spiritual kindergarten, so there's a lot that can be taught, and I definitely have what I've learned about meditation over the years from other spiritual traditions. So, but I got to remember, I'm an alcoholic, and this is, no matter what else I do, I got to do this, you know, I got to do AA, it's fine. I can do dancing, twirling, whatever, meditation, yoga, Pilates, all that stuff, but it better be and.
So. Right.
All right, still on page 87. As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times in each day, thy will be done. We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. It works. It really does.
So I have to say I'm not as good at this. Like, my first thought is not to pray about everything throughout the day or to even ask God for input. Like, I set about to, I just get busy and then I will find myself, like, you know, biting my nails or getting really agitated with somebody and then realize, like, oh, like I'm trying to arrange life to suit myself at this moment, and I need to pray and ask for God's will in a particular situation, and sometimes just get quiet so that I can calm some stormy emotions, which for me a lot of times is just agitation. It's like agitation and temper, like that stems from being really busy and trying to do too much and not doing this as much as I can. And another situation is when, you know, like I start to have a little bit of conflict with somebody else or a little bit of agitation with somebody else, and that's when I really need to be like, okay, whatever. Because I like to tell people what they should do all the time. And so for me to just go, wait, okay, you know, God's will, not mine, be done in their life and, you know, like whatever experience it is that they have to do. And but I have to say, like, that it's not always my first thought, and some of that has to do with being in AA for a while. Like, I have more confidence. I believe in intuition. I believe in what God says, and so it takes a little bit more work to pause and get my ego out of the way and to really to practice this stuff all the time. So that's it.
Thanks. Yeah. You know, this is as we go through the day, I find that this is where actually that quiet time I spend in the morning is this where it pays dividends is later in the day when someone comes in into my sphere and disturbs me. You know, it's interesting that relationship with being still and that meditation tends to play out later in the day as opposed to immediately afterwards. I noticed afterwards in certain circumstances, like, oh, I'm surprised how I handled that. I did not go for that guy's throat. And it's interesting, you know, when I don't do it, I tend to be suffer my reactive mind and end up, you know, either harming or saying something wrong or whatever. And but it's interesting. And I always think when I read this right now, I think of as we go throughout the day, we pause when I should and ask for the right thought or action. And there's those, I think we have about four, maybe five slogans, real popular AA ones. And it's the first things first one, you know, and that's, and I was one of those people who didn't even consider what that meant until many years into AA, and I had to look it up. And it was basically it was borrowed from a biblical statement. And it was something along the lines of first seeing the kingdom of heaven. So that's my directions, is get to God first. And this is, you know, like in so much of our other stuff, I got to get to God instead of get to myself before I get in and get my hands on things. And that's back to this, you know, seeking to live a life of God reliance. And anyway, oh, and the other, and I love this, one of the things I think about too in the 12 and 12, there's some good stuff in there around, it's actually, I think, in the 10th step in the 12 and 12, and it talks about that spiritual axiom, and whenever we are disturbed, there is something wrong with us. And I don't know if you guys have ever thought about that, but I remember the first time I read that, I was like, that can't be right, can it? But it's absolutely true at the face level value of that, and there's the big problem is I'm disturbed for one thing, and that's how do I quiet the disturbance? And so the first thing I do is say a prayer, ask help from God, and I've found that it gets into this it helps without burning up energy foolishly as we did when we're trying to arrange life. And that's I gotta remember that when I don't do this, I just default back to self-will. You know, if I'm not doing this, I'm gonna end up playing God at some level, subtly or, you know, extremely, and just create troubles for myself. And so it says down at the end of this, it works, it really does. It is. This is just, I found that this stuff is not like, you know, super esoteric, theoretical. It's so freaking practical. It's just practical, you know. So, thanks.
All right. Our last reading tonight is from page 88. We alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined. But this is not all. There is action and more action. Faith without works is dead. The next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12.
I'm definitely undisciplined. And, you know, it's a practice. Step 11 is a practice to pray, thy will not mine be done throughout the day, to start off your day turning your will and your life over to God, and to try and calm your mind as they do in as we do in meditation. All of it is it's really easy to just not do it for days at a time and then wake up one day and go, wait a second, I have not done this for one day for like 2 weeks. And I have had periods of my sobriety where I was like that, and I don't like living that way at all. And I like it when my life is so much better when certain things are higher priority than other things in my life, and that is, you know, meeting spiritual condition, my physical health, all of that kind of stuff. Now, sometimes life pops up, like when I first had toddlers coming in the morning and jumping on me during the middle of my morning meditation. I was like, F this! This is never going to work, you know? Like, but I got desperate enough to figure out how to pray and meditate with toddlers climbing on you, you know? Actually, it was a coach of mine said, she's like, that's when you need to do it more than any time. I'm like, ouch, you got me. So anyway, there's no excuses. We have to be disciplined. And then, you know, like, all of this is for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to help others. Step 11 is about getting me out of the way so that I can be there for other people in this life and to get myself out of the way. And I believe that I'm sober for a reason. Like, there's some reason why I got sober at 18. You know, like, I was given this gift and this incredible blessing to not destroy my life for an additional 30 years. And I feel a very strong obligation to be disciplined and practice these principles in order to help others, because I'm grateful for what I got. So.
All right. The only thing that comes up around this, and it's just around this word discipline, because I don't know if discipline to me was something that in my mind I equate to punishment. You know, I had to be disciplined a lot when I was growing up, and I actually looked this word up because I've heard it meant something else, but I was the original or the Latin of it means to instruct, and that's what I'm doing here. I'm trying to be instructed by God, and Harmony was talking about that. I mean, what's all this leading up to? It's basically, if I'm doing all this stuff, that puts me in the perfect position to be, which is our purpose, what the book says, is to be a maximum use to God and my fellows. So if I'm really doing this stuff, I'm in the best shape to serve another alcoholic or anyone else for that matter. So, thanks.
Okay, thanks. We are gonna pass the basket in accordance with the seventh tradition. The seventh tradition states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup central office, local services, district, area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. The amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world. Announcements. Are there any AA announcements?
July 10th.
Melissa.
My name is Melissa. I'm an alcoholic.
Yes.
My name is Ashton.
Hi, Ashton.
Are you going to announce our group?
Are you going to? Can you?
Who's our guy again? Who's the talker? What's the guy's name?
Morgan.
Just go, oh, Morgan, you had your hand up. Just say, Morgan, you had your hand up.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Jason, alcoholic.
Hi, Jason.
Speaking of the 11th step, there's a group called Free Thinkers in Virginia Beach that meets on 7 o'clock at Virginia Beach Recovery Club, and it's always focused on the 11th step, and it's open to atheists, agnostics, and they have speakers from the different monotheisms, and then it's an open discussion. So I find it very apropos that you're of what we're discussing tonight. Maybe some people here might like it.
Thank you. This group, Simple Actions, has supper and a speaker on July 10th. Morgan, I don't know the name of the speaker.
Mike
is the name of the speaker.
Where's he from?
Falls Church, Virginia. Mike from Falls Church is going to be here. And we eat at 6 o'clock, and then we will listen to Mike from Falls Church afterwards. Anything else? Oh. Yes.
Malcolm.
Hi, Malcolm.
This Sunday, the 25th, AA101 is having a speaker and serving brunch. We meet at Norfolk Centera in the Brick House classroom, and the speaker is starting 11, and then brunch served at 10.
Thanks, Malcolm. Okay. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hands. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you.
Hey, everyone. Travis.
Hi, Travis. Welcome. Literature is available on the table to my right. Please see me or any home group member after the meeting if you would like to purchase a big book. Sponsorship. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have any questions or would like additional information about sponsorship in AA, I will be available at this table after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to me. Reminders, smokers, please use the butt can provided outside. Stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. In closing, could we please thank Brad and Harmony again for sharing? Thanks to all who participated. After we clean up, all are invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on the step discussed tonight at the meeting after the meeting, which will be held at Plaza del Sol. And who will volunteer to read on page 164?
Melissa,
thank you. All right, we have a nice way of closing. Our Father.
Our Father.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Keep coming back.